Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. So glad to be with all of you this morning. I used to pray, I've been praying and every day I pray, Lord, let your face shine on me. But today this light is shining on me. Somehow the prayer is answered. Okay, so I need to go back and tell my church, somehow I received the light. Okay, anyways, I'm so happy that God has brought me here and I'm excited. I wanted to really speak slow so that my accent can make you understand. If I go a little fast, I know it'll be helpful only to me. So I don't want to be like that. I want to be a blessing to you all. And I want to be a blessing to myself this morning as the Lord is going to minister to all of us. Yeah, I'm still trying to look at your faces, but it's hard. Yeah. So I'm given a slot, okay, of time, and I will definitely close within that time. When I came to ministry at the age of 17, that's when God called me for full-time ministry, and I gave my life to the Lord. And since then, God has been using me. Don't calculate when I'm telling the numbers. Don't try to know my age. I'm still young. Okay? right now, this is my 29th year of serving the Lord. So I praise God for this wonderful privilege He has given me. I know that I'm not worthy, but He made me worthy. Yeah, none of us. Okay? So what I heard when I was a teenager coming to the ministry and doing ministry, okay, this is what I heard. And I used to sit like you and used to hear, in India, if you are not going to speak more than 1 hour, they won't be satisfied. So minimum 1 hour and maximum, it's up to you and them. Okay, that's how Indian, preachers, Indian churches are used to. But what I used to feel, when this message will be over. Like we wanted a short messages, but by God's grace for the past, 10, 15 years, we've been hearing only 20-minute sermons. And also nowadays, short messages in 1 minute. So day by day, it is decreasing. But whatever, I learned in my early days, blessed are those who speak short. They shall be invited again and again. Okay, not for that, but I wanted to speak very less this morning. But above all, I always wanted to depend on the Holy Ghost as the Lord leads. Let's be ready. Amen. Okay, so seasons. This year, the theme of this church is seasons, right? So the Bible says there is a time to cry and there is a time to laugh and there is a time to sit and listen. Okay, so I believe it's a time for all of us to listen from, what God wants to speak to us. Actually, yesterday evening, my friend Ben and Donna, we were having a small family get-together with some families. And after that, we were praying. And I've been praying because I was told that I need to share my testimony and also minister this morning. So I've been asking God, Lord, pastors will have a lot of messages. I can bring some messages from my church, means whatever I preached at the back, and then make you all happy. But that was not at all my intention anytime. Every time I used to ask God, Lord, what is your fresh word for this morning? So that's what I learned in my life. And if it is one word, that's enough. Because one word can change the course of our lives. Because it's His word. And the Bible says, the word of God is sharper than any other two-edged sword. So I actually, when I was a teenager studying, I used to study well and I was a good boy at home. At home. Hope you can understand the complete meaning of it. Okay, in front of my parents, I was a very good boy. In Sunday school, good boy. Outside, I'm the original boy. Okay, so very naughty and I used to, be friend in doing naughty things with all my friends. But, God is so merciful. Those days, I used to have this heart to become cardiologist, but God's ways and God's thoughts are always higher, always greater. So God did not make me a physical cardiologist, but he made me a spiritual cardiologist. So that's what he's been doing it. Okay, that's what he's been doing it. So get ready to get some wounds today and hurts, but it'll be good for you and for me. Okay, because since I'm a cardiologist, so definitely I'll cut you. Okay, so yeah. So I wanted to thank God for this opportunity, first of all. And secondly, I want to thank Pastor Andrew and all the church elders, leaders, and my friend Ben Donner for bringing me here. So I always believe one thing, it's only the grace of God. Yeah, it's not my prayers, it's not my commitment, it's not my hard work or anything, it's just His grace. Of course, we need all of those. We can't simply say it's only the grace. We also need them, but above all, it's His grace. So we should never forget that. So that's what I am always grateful to my God and also my wife. Okay, she is a very good friend and a very bad enemy. Don't tell her when she comes here, because don't try to split us. Okay, means she is a very good support to me. She, because of her, today I'm traveling. She takes care of our ministry, our churches, our staff, and above all, my teenage, you know, children. So it's very hard to handle the teenagers. Of course, every age, but the teenage is also very hard. And now my daughter is 17 and my son is 14. So please pray for them. And this is what, you know, God has entrusted unto us, that we wanted to continue in His call. And my both children, before they were born, before in their, you know, mom's womb, God spoke to me and said, what is their calling? So I told them, this is what your calling is, and you have to, you know, train yourself, whatever you study, whatever you become. But remember, you are sent to this world with this purpose. So that's what we've been teaching them, because the Bible says, train up the way, okay, the children in the way they should go. And when they come to old, they shall not depart. So it's our job. Every parent's job is to continuously invest into their life. Continuously tell them what is good and what is bad. So this is about my family. If the Lord is leading as I'm going in the word, because this is a time for the word. So I don't want it to take much of, you know, the time for my personal testimony or anything. But let us see. So as we were praying yesterday, as we were praying after everybody left in their home, that is when the Lord dropped this thought in my heart. Okay, the Holy Spirit gave me this wonderful title is, what is stopping you? That's the title. Okay, what is stopping you? Okay, I have seven I've listed. Of course, you can list many. What is stopping you? Before that, there is another one. I used to have this in my mind. Do you want to be used by God? You want to be used by God? Can I see your hands? Yeah, thank you. Everybody, I do not know whether it is true or not, but we know how to raise hands. Right? So we still raise. So are you true what you're saying? You want to be used by God? There are many ways. God, don't expect God to use you always as a worship leader. Don't expect God to use you always as a preacher. Don't expect God to use you always as a musician. God has His own ways of using people. You know, God can use a donkey also. God used donkey. But don't be, you know, a donkey in the hands of God. Be a holy vessel in the hands of God. Because donkeys cannot be in the kingdom of God since they are used. You know, when you build a building, especially in India, when we build a building, we use scaffolding. You know the scaffoldings? Okay, to build the building actually, and the scaffolding is not going to stay permanently there. It is only for that season, for that time period. They use it for 21 days, 10 days, or 1 month, like that, according to the, you know, structure. Scaffolding was used to construct, but it is not a permanent one. Many today in the church are like scaffoldings. They are being used by the Lord and the Holy Ghost only for a season. God is not interested for you to be used just for a program or for a season. God is interested in you and me for our whole lifetime. We should be a witnesses unto the Lord. That's what. So before going to that, I wanted to ask you one more time, like, what is stopping you? So I wrote a couple of, you know, things here. From coming to church every week, what is stopping you? You know, sometimes we think it's okay. We take the presence of God, church, fellowship for granted. That is what is stopping you maybe from coming to church every week. Some people think once, you know, I used to call, we have ECG Christians. You know ECG? ECG means electro something. ECG, you use it for heart, right? They check your heart, everything condition of it. So we have some ECG Christians. Easter, Christmas, Good Friday. Okay. God doesn't want you to be an ECC Christian. God wants you to be an everyday Christian. Everyday. A Christian is none other but one who follows Christ. One who displays Christ's attitude. He is a Christian. Okay, so we don't need ECG, right? Usually, whenever you, when you say that they checked my ECG, that means your condition is not right. They are trying to know what is happening exactly. So usually at home, how many of you go through that ECG every day? We don't have that machine also. It's usually in the hospital. So don't try to be an ECG Christian. Okay? So don't take God, His presence and fellowship for granted. You need to come every time. Okay? To the church. Okay? When you come to the church, when come to the fellowship, when you come, you know what happens? There is a power in the fellowship. Okay, there is wonderful presence of God. And the presence of God can transform you back into the image of God. So we need to come. So you can't take it for granted. Last week I went, no. Yesterday's manna is over. You need fresh manna for today. Right? Okay, and the second one, what is stopping you from being faithful to the Lord? I think you don't know what is faithfulness. Some people, especially in India, okay? They say that, yes, I want to be faithful to the Lord, to Sunday school, to youth, to this, that. You know, they take a lot of commitments, but that stays only for 1 week. They remember only for 1 month, 1 year. No, being faithful, Bible says, be faithful to the end and you will receive the crown of life. Till the end. That's what God expects. There are many in this world, then why are you saved? There are many in this world, why are you sitting in the church this morning? God has a plan on you and me. God loves us so much. So, try to be faithful. And it's not with our hard work, it's just our availability. God doesn't want our abilities, but He wants our availability. Okay, God calls, you know, and makes us qualified. God never interested in qualified, but God is interested in the people who are available. And He knows how to make them qualified. The disciples, some of them are, you know, they're illiterate. They don't know anything, but they're available. God said, follow me. Jesus said, follow me. They followed and God made them a blessing to the world. You know, some in the book of Acts, they say, are these the people who are with Jesus and they are turning the world upside down? They were still illiterates. It's not your studies, it's not your background that matters. It's your availability. And my availability. That's what I have learned all these years. Lord, I want to be available. Whatever you want to do, you do it, Lord. Because this life is yours. And the Bible says, you are bought with a price. You are no more of yourself. You belong to the Lord. And I belong to the Lord. Amen. Are you all upset? No. Are you all happy? No, I'm not upset, I'm enjoying. Shall we all say hallelujah once? Hallelujah. In India, you know, for every sentence they say hallelujah. The preachers. That has become a, you know, I don't know what you call that. That becomes, you know, their supporting word for every sentence. So I'm not saying like that, but I wanted your true hallelujahs unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, anyways, thank you for smile. Okay, and the third one, what is stopping you from taking baptism? Many are believing in Christ, but you're not taking baptism. You think it's okay, I'll take, you know, before my wedding. No, that is a wedding baptism. In India, that's what happens. They just take before their wedding because they wanted a Christian marriage. For that, they take the wedding baptism. That's not a true baptism. The true baptism, when you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and He died for you and He rose again, you should immediately take the baptism. What happens when you take the baptism? You are becoming authentic son of God and daughter of God. So that's your license, actually. So don't delay. If you have not taken baptism, go talk to your Pastor Andrew. Tell him, I wanted to take baptism as soon as, you know, as soon as is available. Because don't delay baptism. Baptism is like, you know, dying for your old, living for the new. That's what you are confessing before the church, confessing before the society, confessing before the Lord. You know, the Bible says, those who confess, you know, me before everybody, I will confess them in the heavens. Okay, I'll say about them. So, don't delay baptism. What is stopping you from taking baptism? So, maybe you procrastinating, delaying. And what is stopping you from going to the missions? Okay. And maybe I think, you know, some people say, missions is not my cup of tea. No, it is everybody's water. You can't live without drinking water, right? So same way God said in book of Matthew 28, like, you know, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. He did not say to just, you know, one or two people. He said to everybody. If you are believing in Jesus, if you believe that Jesus died for you, and this responsibility is laid upon your shoulder and my shoulder, okay, you are called for missions. Amen. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. Oh, with a smile, please. Thank you. Yes, we are called for missions. Can somebody shake somebody's hand and say, I am called for missions? Is it? You know, usually I say at home, you are just doing it for my sake. Are you doing that same? No. Are you doing it with all of your heart? Now you reverse the verse, means that sentence, and say, you are called for missions in Jesus' name. We are all called for missions. Amen? Amen, amen. Thanks for the freedom that you have given me to preach. I'm really enjoying this beautiful church. Okay, you are all beautiful. But not more than me, okay? I'm kidding, okay? You know, somebody was saying, you are glowing. That's why I'm taking it for granted. Okay, anyways, the other one is, what is stopping you from helping others? What is stopping you from helping others, you know? Like, we are here to help one another, to encourage one another. This life is very short, man. Can you tell I will live tomorrow also? No. Maybe by faith you can say that. I do have a friend. I used to go for, you know, jogging in the morning. And that guy is my childhood friend. And he's a gym coach, you know. Gym coach. So once he saw me, it's right in front of my home. It's a big stadium we have, a cricket stadium. So I go there every day. And one day he saw me and he said, hey, Vijay, what are you doing here? And I said, I come regularly for jogging. And he said, okay, then you do one thing. I am the gym coach here. Why don't you come for free of cost? Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus, for free of cost. Okay. We love all this free. Okay. So I said, okay, from tomorrow onwards. I went. And he told me a couple of, you know, tips how to do these dumbbells and all this stuff. Okay, good. After 1 week, I said, usually I may not come regularly because I have my meetings and assignments, you know, outside. I have to travel. So he said, okay, no problem. So one day morning, I texted him, today I'm not coming. Maybe after 2 days, I'll come. And he texted me back, okay, fine. I came back. I did not come back. I went to another city. My dad called me. My dad called me and said, hey, you know about your friend? I said to my dad, yes, we met almost after 15 years in the grounds, because he moved from my dad's home and I also moved from my dad's home after our teenage, means after marriages. So my dad was saying, okay, good. But this morning, he died with heart attack. So what I want to tell you is, don't think every day is yours. Don't think that you can do something tomorrow or next year. Okay? What is stopping you from helping others? Today is the day God has given to us to encourage somebody, to help somebody, to bless somebody, okay, to pray for somebody. You know, some people, they don't even smile. When you smile, your value increases. Yeah. When you smile, your face value increases. Come on, smile. It costs you nothing. Does it cost anything? Nothing. Some people, they are very holy. They don't even smile. Let me tell you, if you are really holy, you will smile. The fake holiness will limit you all the time. Will put you in boundaries. Okay. So, and another one, what is stopping you from involving in the church activities? When you are given 10 talents, God will ask you for each and every talent. Don't think because you are in a worship team, you are not supposed to do other works. You are given 10 talents, remember. Maybe you are given 5 talents. Okay, don't compare yourself with a person who has only one talent. Because that person is doing only one job, why should I also do other jobs? I'll also stick to one job. No. You are blessed with 10 talents. You have that strength. You have that capacity. You have that anointing on you. Use it. What is stopping you? Maybe, you know, sometimes, I don't like to do that. What is your liking and disliking? He likes you to do that. What is my liking, yes or no? I don't like cold here, but God sent me during winter. What should I do? Okay. You don't even know how my bones are shivering, not my skin. I don't like the cold, but God said, no, in that cold, you have to go. So likewise. So we don't like sometimes, but God likes it. Amen. Okay, my last one. I think I have, asked you 7 things. What is stopping you from doing the will of God? What is stopping you from doing that? I think some of you don't know actually what is the will of God. That is why you stopped. Okay, now I wanted you to, open your Bible. The number one is, it is okay, it is okay attitude, or it is like taking things for granted. What is stopping you from going to church every week? Ecclesiastes 11th chapter, 7 and 8 verses. If you read there, I'm actually going through this, ASV, American Standard Version. Usually I go through NIV, but whatever the Bible that you have, it says, Ecclesiastes 11, 7 to 9, truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing. It is for the eyes to behold the sun. If a man live many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember, Bible says, the days of darkness, for they shall many, and all that cometh is vanity. It says, another word, God will bring all these into judgment. So today, if you think it's okay for me to stay back, or you okay for me to enjoy, and if you think in that way, the Bible says, all these things will come to judgment. Okay, God will count everything. According to your deeds, the Bible says, you will be given the reward. I will be given the reward. So we can't take things for granted. And Proverbs 11:24, it says, for riches are not forever, that the crown endure unto all generations. Okay, so riches are not forever. All these things are not forever. They are given at this moment. Maybe tomorrow, we don't know. Job. When you look Job in the Bible, you call Job, right? Job, okay. Whatever, you understood, right? So, okay. So, Job in the Bible, he thought, he has everything. But all of a sudden, this disaster came. We don't know what happens next. But you should be able to live, faithfully for the Lord. So coming to, being faithful, the 1 Samuel 12th chapter, 24th verse, it says, only fear Jehovah, only fear the Lord, and serve him in truth. It says, in another version it says, serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Serve him faithfully, okay, and consider what great things he has done for you. Did you ask God before you born, Lord, I want to born in Australia? Did you ask that? Did I ask, Lord, I want to born in India, the third world country, a developing country? No, it was not my choice. It was God's choice. When God has given you the privilege, of enjoying everything, how come you take it for granted and not being faithful? Or me also. It's not only for you, even for me. I did not ask, Lord, I want to born to these parents. There are many people today suffering for many things and what we are enjoying them. Okay. Many people did not have pure water also. And whereas sometimes we waste water, we don't know the value of it. Because I've been doing the homeless ministry for the past 16 years. Every time I go to them, they did not bath for almost 1 month. 1 week, 2 weeks, they're stinking. Once we were doing a medical camp for all these homeless people. In India, it is not like they all come to one place. We have to go to them. They live by the platforms, nearby the station, railway stations, and nearby the bus stations. So they sleep under the trees. So we have to go to them. They don't, you know, bath. They don't, you know, have anything. Sometimes they don't have clothes also. You know, we used to give them clothes. And to go and talk also, it is horrible. Once I went to one man, he got some wound here, and I can see the worms here. And we took him to the hospital. We tried to help him. Did he ask for that life? Then how come you and me are simply relaxing here in this wonderful life? Why can't you be faithful to the Lord? What is stopping you to be faithful? You don't even know how people are suffering sometimes. Even I also don't know. Maybe I'm talking about one person. There are millions suffering. If you Google the first poverty country, means the poor country is Sudan. Okay. And there, people, just for a glass of water, they wait for weeks. I'm just, you know, sharing one example. There are many like this. Let's be faithful. And the Bible says, serve the Lord in trembleness or in faithfulness, in truth. Matthew 25:21, it says, the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. So let's learn to be faithful in whatever God has given to us. Let's be faithful. God has given you good education, good parents. Be faithful to them. Okay, good job. Maybe a small job, but you have got a job. A small house, but you have a house. Okay, you have. Be content with what you have. And I'll tell you, you will be seeing multiplying those things. God will multiply them. Some people, like Israelites, always grumbling, murmuring. Though they have everything, they still grumble. They still murmur. And God hates such attitude. God wants us to be satisfied with whatever we have. When you don't have children, rejoice. In His time, He will give you children. Don't complain on that. If you don't have anything, still rejoice. You have Jesus in your heart. Hallelujah. Now we can say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, if you read, you know, if you go a little more further, what is stopping you? Like, you know, delaying things. Proverbs 6:6, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no chief, overseer, or ruler. We have pastors, we have youth pastors, we have youth leaders, we have Sunday school teachers. Still, we want to be like sluggards. Whereas the ant doesn't have any. No overseer. We have parents, everyone. But we say, it is my life. I want to do it in my way. It is not your life. Hello. Once you are saved, it is His life. You and me are leading His life. You are accountable and I am accountable for this life. How you are using it. How am I using it? So, and Proverbs 24, it says, 20th chapter, 4th verse. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the winter. Okay. Therefore, he shall beg in his harvest and have nothing. There is a time to plow. There is a time to harvest. There's a time to cry. There's a time to laugh. So when it's a time to work, don't sleep at home. Okay. When it's a time to smile, don't hold it. Okay. When it's time to shake hands, please do that. When it's time to hug, do that. Because we don't know when we get the opportunity again. Three things I always believe will never come back. Hope you might have heard them. Three things, okay? Number one is time. When you lose it, you won't get the same time back. Second is opportunities. When you lose the opportunities, you won't get it back. Okay? The same opportunity may not get it. You get it. Okay? And the third one is your words. Be careful when you're speaking. Whatever the word that has come out, you can't take it back. Okay? So let's be careful. Are you all sleeping? No. Some are very seriously listening. But because of the light, I can't see your eyes. So I feel like you're sleeping. Lord, thank you for these smoothing words. And this, you know, cold weather. So, okay. So another one, you know, okay, I don't want to go into every verse because I know my time is very limited. But I also wanted to, you know, show you a couple of verses like Hebrews 13 and 18, sorry, 16. It says, do good and to communicate, forget not. Means don't forget to do good and communicate. Okay. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do good. Do good. And with such sacrifices, your God is pleased. You want to please God? This is one key. Do good to everybody. Don't expect them to do good for you. If Jesus has expected that, he will not die on the cross. When Jesus did good for this people, they did bad unto him. That's how the world is. We are living in a world with always, you know, we have to be ready for common things like they hurt us. These are common. They are not uncommon. When they treat you with love, this is uncommon. That is uncommon for us in India. They don't even, the place where we are right now, my church, so this whole community is with two caste people, okay? So in India, I do not know how many of you know about caste system. It is still, you know, there, and they treat you according to your caste. They respect you according to your caste. We have five castes. Shall I tell you? Okay. No need to remember, but just listen. Okay. So number one is they call Brahmins, and they actually represent the human body for each caste from where they came. Okay. Human body. For example, take my body here. From the head, the Brahmins came, they say. Brahmins are teachers. Brahmins are, yeah, teachers and priests, temple priests. You know temple priests? So they say that the Brahmins have come from head. So they are given the top priority, high priority. And the second caste are compared with arms and hands. These arms. Like, you know, they say second group is kings, kshatriyas. Kings means warriors, fighters. So they say that the second caste group people come from these hands. And the third caste, they say they came from stomach and legs. Okay, they are called Vaishyas. Okay, Vaishyas. Number one is Brahmins. Number two is Kshatriyas. Number three is Vaishyas. Can somebody repeat this? I know you can't. Even for me to remember, it took a lot of time. Okay, when I was, you know, teenager, you know, I used to struggle because these are all not familiar words to us also. Okay, anyways, no need to remember. But number one is Brahmins, head. Number two is, you can remember like this, head, arm, and stomach. So you can remember. So the third one. And the fourth, this third group are called farmers. Okay, they always give you the food to eat and they work. So they compared with this stomach and legs. And the fourth one is Shudras, they say. Shudras means feet. They say they came from the feet. Okay, feet. So they say this. People who have come from this field, they are, you know, laborers and servants. Okay, laborers and servants. Okay, how many I said? Four. One more is left. And the one more they say, the dust, where the body stands. Okay, the dust, the ground. And that group, they call Dalits. And they see them as untouchables. And 90% of Christians are from that Dalit group. Only this 10% are from other castes. Now they are being converted. But 90% Christians are treated like, you know, untouchables all these years. and the community that we have around our church, these two groups, head and this. So they treat me as a dust. They treat my church, my Christians, everybody as dust. So that's why they don't want it to smile also. Because we are untouchables. In the olden days, not now, when a Dalit comes, Dalit means this, the fifth group, comes and sits here, the moment he goes, he has to wipe this place. And even the footprint should not be there. He has to clean. Because we are untouchables. That's how, you know, we are treated. Still, that is happening in villages. Bible says, we are all created in the image of God. But look at my nation. They treat us this way. When I go to a shop or a market, you know, those people know me as a pastor and they smile at me, they talk, you know, very nice. But the moment other caste group people comes to that place, they simply ignore me. Even today. They don't even talk to me. When nobody is there, they'll talk to me. But when other caste people come there, they just ignore me. They don't even smile, they don't even talk. And they give first priority to other person, whatever he wants to buy. So, let's do good and forget not, okay, the sacrifices, okay, that we make unto God, whatever that is. It is, you know, a pleasing unto him, a pleasing aroma unto him. And the next verse I wanted to show you is, I'm not actually going every verse, but other one. Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, not forsaking our own assembling together as the custom of same is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing nigh. Means, as you know that Jesus is coming soon, don't miss the opportunity of coming together. Means you need to come oftentimes. You need to wait for the fellowship. So what is stopping you? What is stopping you? Please take the word of God seriously. Be a real Christian, not a fake one. True Christian. We have this saying, every Sunday we see angels in the church, but throughout the week at the home they are devils. In the church, everybody is worshiping. In the church, everybody is, you know, seems to be like holy. But once you go home, that is where your holiness is actually tested. Your original life is actually, how you are talking with your husband, how you are talking with your wife, how you are talking with your children, how you are handling things. No, that is when the fruit of the Spirit will be manifested. Fruit of the Spirit, yeah. We are not here to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Okay, we are here to walk by the Spirit. So one particular chapter I'll show you and I'll close. I know that you are already, you know, looking at your watches. No? Okay. So some people say, go ahead. But other people say, no man, stop it. Okay. That's inside. I can hear their voice. Okay, anyways, shall we turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel and, 16th chapter, one of the familiar passages. Hope, without turning your Bible, can somebody tell me what is there in that 1 Samuel 16 chapter? Don't say the words of the Lord, okay? What is that? 1 Samuel 16 chapter, it's a very familiar story, David and Goliath. Not David and Goliath, from David's life will begin from there. Okay, the David story. Okay, the next chapter we know about David and Goliath. Okay, so here, if you read the first verse, very first verse, now I'm reading from my Bible, it's NIV. I really like this study. If you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 16 chapter. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? This is what God is saying. To whom? To Samuel. Samuel is a man with three offices. What are the three offices? Number one is a prophet. Number two is a judge. Number three is a priest. I said the answers, don't worry. Okay, so this man carrying three offices and still here is at one place, you know, crying for Saul. And that is what is stopping him from the next work. He's supposed to, you know, Forget that situation. Go further and look. That's why Apostle Paul says, forget what is behind. I press towards my goal. That is what the Christian life is. You should forget what is behind. What happened yesterday, forget about it. What is going to happen tomorrow is what my job. Okay, it's what my, you know, driving force is. Okay, so, and God is saying, hey, Samuel, what are you doing here? How long you will cry for that man since I have rejected him? Today, we are also in the same situation. We cry for something what God has already rejected. We wait for something what God doesn't like it. We're still praying for that. And you all said you want to be used by God. You know A.W. Tozer? Have you ever heard about him? A.W. Tozer? Are you a friend of him? No. Okay. We all read his books, right? So, and you know, A.W. Tozer said, God never uses anyone greatly until he tests them deeply. God never uses anyone greatly until he tests them deeply. So when you're going through that situation, don't worry. God is maybe testing you. And after this, you will see the hand of God moving in a powerful way. So young people, how many young people are here? Can I see your hands? Everybody is young at heart, of course. But I'm talking about the age. How many young people are here? Young people? Young people? Young, okay. Oh, by this I understand you did not get my message. Oh my God. I tried my best, man. Okay, how many, what do you call that? Young people? Young adults? Okay. So, please raise your hands for just 1 minute. I know that you are all having good muscles. Okay. Please. Yeah, just for a few minutes. Not even a few minutes, maybe seconds. So, I wanted to ask you all, what is stopping you from carrying the yoke of the Lord? What is stopping you? Come on. This is the time. I came to the Lord at the age of 17. I don't know anything. I was a teenager. So today I want to ask you, what is stopping you? Are you understanding or should I repeat in your accent? Yeah, thank God. Come on, man. It is good to carry the yoke of the Lord when you are still young. That's what the Bible says. It's good to carry the yoke of the Lord. This man is crying for what God has rejected. And because of his delay, somebody is waiting in the field. Who is waiting in the field? It's David. God said, come on, what is stopping you? Get up. Go, I already chose a man from Jesse's family in Bethlehem. And this man is sitting here crying for what God has rejected. Maybe you are sitting in your place and you're thinking about your job, about your children, about your wife, about your husband. No, somebody is waiting for you to take a step of faith. And that's David. Are you here? Yeah, that man is waiting in the field. He's been praying, worshiping. Lord, when my time will come. And this man, so-called prophet, so-called priest, so-called, you know, the judge. Sometimes, you know, we miss like this. What God wants to do through your life. This man has to go there and anoint him. And that man will become a man after God's own heart. God is looking at the future. This man is stuck at the present. And maybe at the past. God is looking at the future. Come on, church. This is the time. This is the time for us. The world is waiting for Davids. Maybe through you, God wants to raise Davids. That's what I always believe. Lord, what all I can do, I want to go, Lord. Maybe somebody is waiting for a word of encouragement. Somebody is waiting, you know, just for me to lay hands and pray. It's not me, Lord. I will do my part, but you will do everything from there. Maybe some parents are here. You are like Samuel. You're not standing up. And because of you, we are missing Davids. Because of you, we are missing Davids. You're like Samuel. You know everything. You're a church elder, maybe. Okay, you are maybe one of the key person like Samuel. But God wanted you. Just leave everything. Don't worry about children. Don't worry about your family. Bible says, look at the birds in the air. When God is feeding them, providing them, how much more God can provide for you? You are in the image of God. I am in the image of God. I learned what is walking by faith. You know, last year God took me to America. I was there for 4.5 months. You know, with how much money I went? Not more than $100. I just took a step of faith to go there. God opened the doors. I want to go. When my God fed Elijah, he's the same God today. Come on, clap your hands. Yes, he's the same God today. I always tell my church, don't look at your husband for every provision. Your husband is your God. Don't look at your wife for every work, because God is your source. God is our source. We should look unto God. He's a father. He's a husband. He's a friend. He is everything. Then, not just claps, rise up and say, Lord, nothing will stop me. Rise up and say, nothing will stop me, Lord. I am here, Lord. That's what Isaiah said. You know, what did Isaiah say? Who shall go for me? Who will go for me? Here I am, Lord. Send me. You know, one thing I'll share and I'll close. Only one thing. When you come to nations like India, you will see, you know, wonderful things happening. Not just only India, I'm saying. There are many places like this. The moment you come there, Holy Spirit will start working because of your step of faith. We need people like you. We wanted you to come. We will take good care of you. Don't worry about what the news you are hearing. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Don't listen to the media. Okay, listen to this Bible. Bible says go. Then why is media stopping you? Why is Indian news stopping you? Or maybe anything. This morning, maybe. Let's sing that you are holy, Lord, and give our lives. And if anybody wants to come forward, especially the young people, young adult, okay. Especially if you want to come forward, I really wanted to pray with all my heart. And I know I have nothing, but I only one thing. I want to be a mediator in praying for you. Everything comes from heaven. God is going to strengthen you. God is going to fill you with fresh anointing. God is going to bless you. God is going to empower you. God is going to do anything that he wants to do in your life. So don't worry. If you want to come forward, please come stand in front. We are going to pray for you as my sister and brothers are leading in. If possible, I request everyone to lift up your hands and say, Lord, yes. Nothing should stop me, Lord. Lord, nothing, Lord. So far, many things have stopped me. But today, Lord, I'm believing nothing is going to stop me. Now onwards, Lord. I break those chains in Jesus' name. I break those chains in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whomever you set free, they are free indeed, Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, Lord. There is freedom, O Father, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Lord, earth and heaven belongs to you, Father, Lord. Whole earth is yours, O Father. The whole earth is yours. So, Father, wherever we go, we know, Lord, we have authority over that place, O Father, Lord. Wherever you lead us, wherever you guide us, Lord, we know that we are only instruments and you will be doing everything there, O Father, Lord. So, whoever is, Lord, taking the decision this morning, Father, help them to stand on their decisions. Help them not to turn back, because we have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, Lord. Yes, Master. Once again, Lord, we pray for your fresh anointing on everybody, Lord. Because the Bible says, your anointing breaks every yoke, O Father. Every yoke right now, whatever it is, we break it in Jesus' name. We cancel it in Jesus' name. Lord, we nullify it in Jesus' name. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Rabba Shakar. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I feel some are really having this desire of doing God's will. I pray, may God reveal his will for you. I pray this morning, may God reveal his perfect will for you as you wait upon the Lord. as you seek His face, as you continually cry in the presence of God. He is a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Lord, raise Davids from this place in Jesus' name, Lord. Raise Davids from this place in Jesus' name. Oh God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Send your people, oh Father. Maybe some people are like Samuels. This morning I pray, thank you for speaking to them, Lord. Thank you for releasing them to go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you and worship you, Lord. Give you all the glory and honor, oh Father, Lord. Lord, thank you for this wonderful church and pastors and all the church elders, oh Father. Bless every family, Lord. Let every family be a missions family, Lord. Let every family be a, Lord, witnessing family, Lord. Every family be a family that pleases you, Lord. Every family, every child here, be an instrument of pleasing God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, I speak your blessings, victory, and protection over this church, Lord. Protect us from all the evil of this world. Protect us, Lord. Give you all glory and honor, Lord. And all the saints say, amen and amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.